From the Mercy One Studio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by Serra Vocations Ministry. Learn more at joinserra.org.
Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Welcome to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. I'm Kelly Metra-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. On today's show, we'll be visiting with Father Quan Tran, parochial vicar at St. Bonaventure Parish in Huntington Beach, California. During May, this month of Mary, we'll visit with Father Tran about his new book, The Imitation of Mary, Keys to Growth in Virtue and Grace. But before we get to today's interview, let's find out what's on the Bishop's mind.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness, May is flying by. We're almost halfway there.
Right.
And, it's just incredible. And continue to offer confirmation. And then, graduation season. Mm-hmm. Our seniors obviously probably have already numbered the days, long counting down, and what they've experienced over the last year and a half, you know, I think probably continuing to say, you know, so the more we can celebrate them and lift them up, and I'll be at St. Albert's Catholic School next Wednesday, the 19th, to celebrate their baccalaureate mass. First time I've been with them this year. We got canceled because of a blizzard, not because of a pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Early, where we were going to install President Ann Rowling as president of St. Albert's. So it'll be good to be with the young people and to shine a light on them and all that they're about. I myself actually kind of snuck away for a little bit, a quick kind of whirlwind trip. I'd always promised my godson, my nephew, son of my brother Mark, Liam Johnson, to go to his Aquinas Academy school where he is graduating from sixth grade in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. So I snuck out there, had a class visit, and celebrated a Marian prayer with the good students there.
Mm-hmm.
We got in this, you know, the Aquinas Academy, we got in a very contested argument with the sixth graders about the prima secunda and certain questions. No, we didn't. But they laid it on me, as only sixth graders can do. And, you know, they can sniff out a poser very quickly. So I hope I cleared the bar on that as well. But and then we know in these sacred days, these great feasts that just keep coming as we conclude the Easter season. And in the Omaha province, obviously the Feast of the Ascension yesterday. Other provinces such as Iowa celebrating on Sunday. But so we're kind of drawn up with Jesus in this great mystery of who he is as he's risen and ascended from the flesh. He doesn't want to shine a light on himself, but now he ascends to glory and the gratitude of the Father for completing the mission that has been entrusted to them so that they can commune and they don't eclipse or block out each other's light in this way. And so it's a unique reception that the Father gives him, just like that admiration we share when someone we know, love, and cherish manifests his goodness and excellence and receives proper recognition. You know, we're recognizing teachers and others who may be concluding their years of service in our Catholic schools these days. So for Jesus, obviously, this is an eminent recognition given to him, but it's nothing that's an acquired art. He's beautiful and beloved. He reveals the face of the Father to us with great integrity and completeness. So our faith goes to the clouds and beyond. We glimpse Jesus where he's supposed to be, at the center of all heaven. The Son radiates as sun when he is in the orbit of the Father. Where the Son is, there is the Father, and where we hope to be, drawn into that embrace with them, buoyed up by the Spirit that draws us ever more, that Spirit that ultimately will assume Mary into heaven. So much going on these days, but our Holy Father is kind of calling us in May to be ever more intentional in praying for the end of the pandemic. Kelly, what's going on there with the Holy Father's initiatives?
Right. He has encouraged us to pray a rosary marathon May 1st to the 31st. He's actually asking everyone to pray the rosary every single day for the end of the pandemic. There's over 30 shrines across the world that are doing this daily and publicly. And so we hope that those prayers are answered.
Kind of a, you know, not a torch that we're carrying or anything, but, you know, we think of the Olympics in Tokyo this year. They've already begun the run of the torch
right there.
But our preferred instrument is the rosary, as we carry that and throughout the world, the solidarity that we know with Mary, the love that we want to bear, but also the strength to endure. And, you know, we think about COVID fatigue and all that we're about and how people may be becoming anticipating. And I think we continue to discern in the diocese, and we're making strides in that way. You know, we'll consider and more to come about the lifting of the dispensation, but only, I think, as we find a new rhythm of being together publicly and maybe being able to relax a little bit, depending on people's comfort level, masks and other things. But step by step, and not hasty, just like bead by bead, we pray the rosary, and God draws us ever more into the mysteries of his amazing grace.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll welcome Father Quan Tran, author of the new book, The Imitation of Mary, Keys to Growth in Virtue and Grace. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall. Online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. We want to welcome our next guest, Father Quan Tran, parochial vicar of St. Bonaventure Parish in Huntington Beach, California. During May, this month of Mary, we're visiting with Father Tran about his new book, The Imitation of Mary, Keys to Growth in Virtue and Grace.
Thank you for joining us, Father Tran. It's good to have you. We've never met personally, but I send you greetings from, a seminary classmate of yours from the North American College in Rome, Father Alan Dietzenbach, pastor of St. Francis of Assisi in Marshalltown, Iowa, our neighboring diocese here. But I understand you were in seminary together, and he has a great regard for you. So, you were somewhat... we won't call it delayed vocation, but you have rich life experiences. So hopefully your wisdom and maturity rubbed off on Father Alan. In that way. your book, you weave personal anecdotes and obviously a great compendium of the Catholic spirituality from many different strains or, traditions. Your own path was not a direct one to the priesthood, and as you now serve as a parochial vicar, an attorney, experience dating. Did any of that kind of, how did that germinate the vocation beforehand, and do you see where, as you look back now, after 10-plus years of ordination, where God continues to use those connections?
Right. Yes, thank you for having me, Bishop. And yes, my vocation is somewhat unusual. It is a later vocation. And growing up, I never thought about the priesthood. My family emphasized success in the world, and I think that's how I became an attorney by default. And I had fallen away from the church like a lot of young people. When I went off to college and law school, I really was not practicing my faith. But God was very patient with me, and I was dating, like you mentioned, and it was the women in my life that brought me back to the Lord. It just so happened that they were very good Catholic women, and they brought me back to Mass and introduced me to the Rosary and Eucharistic Adoration and all these things. And that's when I really started practicing my faith. And
so it's not like you met them on CatholicMatch.com, right?
No.
Or even that their faith was the primary quality that attracted you, but that became something then. Right.
It was all part of divine providence, and that they just happened to be good Catholic women. And so God does use the people and circumstances in our lives. So he used that to bring me back to him, and then I started to practice my faith. And that's when I started kind of just looking back at my life. I kind of wanted to do something that I was really passionate about, and I was never really passionate about law, but nothing else really came to mind. And so I prayed, asking the Lord to reveal to me what it is that he would like me to do. And so after that prayer, about three or four different people asked me if I ever thought about the priesthood. And the more I looked into the priesthood, the more I was drawn to the priesthood, and it was exciting and scary and at the same time. But with God's grace, everything just fell into place quickly.
I think that's such a familiar theme, having been privileged to accompany men in seminary formation, that, you know, once we make that bold prayer, God, is there something you'd like me to do? It's not like he's going to impose something on us that cuts against our desires and sensibilities. All right, oh, God, all right, I'll suck it up and take one for the team here. But that he awakens something. He kindles that in you. And I'm hearing that in what you say.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, it was exciting, exhilarating, and scary because this is a completely new territory that I never thought about. But he set it up where, just like I said, everything fell into place. I had a spiritual director. I went on retreat, and then also during this time, Mary just played a huge part in my life. Growing up, I remember my grandmother would pray the rosary and she would teach us the rosary, but I never had a strong devotion or love of our Blessed Mother. But during this time of conversion and discernment, Mary just figured very prominently in my life. I really kind of fell in love with Mary, you could say. I really enjoyed her images. I felt her closeness. And I started reading more about her, and just I felt like Mary kind of took over my vocation and brought it to fulfillment.
Oh, that's beautiful. The Imitation of Mary: Keys to Growth in Virtue and Grace. Your book is organized what you call 12 Steps to Growing in Virtue and Grace, but this is not a 12-step program, is it? Or is it something that, you know, it's kind of like spiritual boot camp? Or how do you see this unfolding as we flow from these different virtues and qualities?
Right. So these are not really 12 steps per se. They're all connected. They all complement each other. They're all important. So I just broke them down into two, you know, 12 virtues or 12 qualities of Mary. But each quality is very, very deep and complex. But I did arrange them in a natural order, which what I perceive was a natural order. That I mentioned humility as being the first virtue, and many of the saints tell us that, you know, without humility, we're not going to grow in the spiritual life. And then I talk about the theological virtues and so on. I think, yes, that they're all connected, they're all interrelated, and they complement each other.
Okay, and I'm just going to tick them off here, thanks to your helpful little guide here for our listeners. Humility, confidence in God, love of God, union with God, gratitude, joy, docility to the Holy Spirit, love of neighbor, abandonment, mortification, efforts in holiness, and sacraments. So, you know, there's nothing radically new that, but what's radical, of course, is living them in that way, and that our Catholic tradition, the wisdom that is handed on to us, all of these qualities are ever ancient and ever new, and I really think you bring them to life in such a beautiful way. In fact, you kind of, as you bring different spiritual masters into your compendium, if you will, you're also drawing some from some fresher things. You know, you seem to have a connection with Father Robert Spitzer, and mentioned to him a couple times, and then even a little bit of neuroscience there, as you kind of talk about our brain and the amygdala and all that, which, you know, this ancient neuroscience students was intrigued by that as well. Could you talk about how you integrate both of these traditions?
Sure. I wanted this to be a very a complete book. You know, I wanted a book where I could recommend to my spiritual directees. You know, like you say, direct other people, and we, you know, we recommend different books to them. But I wanted like one complete modern book on the spiritual life, and so there really wasn't one, and so I wrote it.
That's a famous line. I don't know who the author is, but anyway, you took it to heart. Yeah.
Oh. Right. So I wanted to incorporate everything, you know, all the history, the tradition, but as well bring it up to date with everything we know about science and psychology and everything. So just to make it very very relevant and practical for somebody today. And so incorporated, you know, and we know that God is the author of everything, you know, of the science, of the brain and psychology and all of those things. So so I wanted to incorporate and show how they're all interconnected and all related.
And I think you do so very gracefully. Although it would seem, given the numbers of references, that you're a little partial to St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, and St. Faustina Kowalska, among the host of saints you talk about. Are those prominent women in your life? You talk about the role of women in your spirituality, Mary foremost, but are these women accented in your own spirituality?
Yes, I think so. I think it's just sort of, I've heard it that it's said that we don't choose the saints, but they choose us. And I think St. Thérèse of Lisieux chose me. You know, I when I was in the seminary at the North American College, there was Sister Breege McKenna. I don't know if you know her, mm-hmm. but yeah, so she's involved in healing and prayer and things like that. And she gave us a conference to us. Seminarians, and then towards the end, for those who wanted her to pray over, she prayed over, and she was praying over me, and she said, "I see a beautiful nun standing next to you," and then she said that this is the Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, and I think ever since then, I really had a strong devotion to Saint Thérèse. As you may know, she wanted to be a missionary in Vietnam, and I think she has a love for Vietnam and the Vietnamese people, and then I was also drawn to Saint Faustina as well. So yes, they do play a prominent role in my spiritual life. I have images of them, and I feel very close to them, and I turn to them often for their intercessions.
Yeah. Well, those women, obviously, and they would gladly reflect back and point to the woman of among women, the one who is blessed, the center of your book and the theme that you connect all the virtues and qualities to, Mary of Nazareth. You make reference to the tradition and comment on Mary's neatness and orderliness, not something I would have thought about even as an oldest child in that way. But how are these qualities, reflective of her spirituality? And we don't see much about her in Scripture, but certainly very vivid moments. But can you comment on her spirituality and what the inside of the tradition is, and how neatness and orderliness are among the raft of qualities?
Right. I think there's a saying, something like cleanliness is next to godliness, or something like
that's right.
That, right?
No, yeah.
Right, and there's a tradition too. I think people say that when we have an orderly surrounding, that's neat and orderly, and that helps us to pray, as opposed to having just so many things and scattered and all over, and then that affects our mind and our mentality as well. So the saints, the mystics tell us that Mary was very simple, very neat, very clean, and tidy. And so, I said that makes sense, because she's such a contemplative, her mind and heart are always connected to the Lord. And so I mentioned that it's to help in our spiritual life as well. But Mary doesn't have, I don't think, a particular spirituality, if you will. I think she's like the whole package. She is the most perfect of all disciples, and God's masterpiece. So she's got the whole package. Mm. I think all of these qualities that she has, we can all embrace. We can all imitate. They're for all of us. We don't need to reject any of those qualities.
Amen.
These are, I think, these are just universal qualities. Mm. Of course, we have our own different personalities and our own way of doing things. But all of these qualities are qualities that are pleasing to God. So he this is his masterpiece. So we should look at her, admire her, and imitate her.
We think about her as really the bastion of holiness. We're heavily into confirmation season, as we're sure in every diocese. And I asked young people to describe Jesus in whatever terms they choose, and one young man responded to me, "Well, he's holy." okay, what does that mean? And though I might have eventually kind of offered my thoughts, I'm just curious, what for you, Father, is holiness?
Right. Holiness is really perfection, and God is perfect, and so it's really the perfection of the virtues, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the Beatitudes, and so these are given to us by Jesus, not only in words but in his life, in the way he lived, and the Mary is the most perfect disciple. The closest disciple of all to Jesus, and so she has these qualities, and the saints as well. So I would say holiness is really to be godlike, right? Because God is holy, and so to most closely resemble Jesus is to be perfect in the virtues and the supernatural gifts.
And so when we are in more perfectly in union with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit manifested through us. Again, we're relying on our own profile as well. We've got about a minute plus here just before we take our break. One little curious thing, any mention of St. John Paul II always kind of piques my attention and everything. And his response to a reporter's inquiry after one of his grand public worldwide voyages and things and many appearances, and asked how he felt, and his response, I don't know. So, you're driving home a point there, but when in seminary we speak of affective maturity, that we need to be in touch with our emotions. So how would you reconcile those two statements? And we only have about 45 seconds. We might have to carry over beyond the break.
Sure. Yes. So I think it's a way of life for John Paul II and the saints. Yes, they're in a way they're aware of what they're feeling and what they're going through, but at the same time they defer everything to the Lord. They don't fixate or dwell on their own feelings, but they choose. It's really a free will to die to self, to sacrifice in the service of God and others.
Mm-hmm. Very marvelous. And, I think it's that carries over then how that recollection, that peace that we are, then can be present where we are, our own kind of spiritual chamber, whether it's our own private space in our homes is not. But we'll look forward to carrying this over after the break.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinserra.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Lee and Eddie in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Welcome back. We're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. We're back with Father Quan Tran to talk about his new book, The Imitation of Mary, Keys to Growth and Virtue and Grace.
So the pandemic has compelled us to be in our own space, sequestering, quarantining at home for great periods. I think obviously the pent-up demand of people to be out and about anytime there's a relaxation of any restrictions to how we flock to public spaces and different things, restaurants, etc. You cite at one point Blaise Pascal's comment that the unhappiness of men arises from the fact that they can't stay in their own chamber. Maybe, God's providence giving us an opportunity to revisit and cultivate that quality again. But Pope Francis had observed, too, that how readily, digital distractions can claim us. So you feel that Pope Francis and Pascal could have a cup of coffee together and agree on that sentiment?
Absolutely. It's the same problems that we've had throughout the centuries, and even more so today, because we even have more temptations, more distractions, things that really take us away from our peace and our recollection. So we really do have to make an effort, a conscious effort, to put down these digital devices, to turn off the computer, to go for a walk, to put the phone away. Because I see this, and I think you see it too, with our young people. They're addicted to their phones, and not just the young people, but even you know the adults nowadays. That really does take us away from our connection with God, ourselves, and with others. And I think this pandemic too is, I think it's maybe in a way making it worse. You know, where we're not socializing, we're not interacting, we're not meeting in person, and we have masks covering our faces, and so there's a lack of connection and relationship, and you know, and because of the fear too that somebody else may infect me or I may infect somebody else, and so I think this is even drawing us further apart. And I see, you know, some people growing in their faith during this pandemic, you know, because of the uncertainty, the fear, and the difficulties, they're turning to God more and more, which is great. But then I also see the reverse. Some people are falling away. People are just, you know, falling into depression and despair. Ultimately, I believe that God, you know, uses everything for good. And so a lot of good has come out of this, and I think, you know, more good can come out of this. And I think maybe people like you and me who take to the media, to social media, to radio, and so on, to connect with the people.
I appreciate those nice kind of reflection and distinctions you're drawing, and I think you referred to it even, that we can't just coast on autopilot here. We have to, you know, be called out again, and that ultimately gathering as a community of faith centered in the Eucharist and choosing that ultimately when the time is right, you know, on our own discernment and that of our public health people. But otherwise, you know, we will, you know, to believe only what we believed in the past, like Augustine says, you know, is a kind of dead faith. And so we want to be reactivated. I have to comment in our last minute or so, you use the, you know, and as a one of these kind of like, you know, middle-aged guys who get fat during the winter now, but I'm still a wannabe cyclist and, you know, can turn it over a little bit. I liked your metaphor of the bicycle wheel and the tire. So would you just share that for our listeners in our last 45 seconds?
Sure. You know, if it's talking about living interiorly, you know, the saints talk about a chamber in their soul, in their heart, where they go and spend time with God. And we know that the Holy Trinity dwells in us. So if we turn inwardly, that's where in like the hub of the tire, there's not a lot of movement. There's peace. There's a calmness. But if we live on the exterior, the outside, like the tire, the surface of the tire, we're going to experience all the bumps and rocks and potholes and things of the terrain. So we know what's going on in ourselves exteriorly, but it's important to turn inward as well. So that's where we find our calm, our peace, and our joy with the Lord.
Praise God. Yes. So thank you. Your spiritual directees and your people are obviously very blessed. I look forward to engaging in the future, but thank you for being with us. The book again is The Imitation of Mary, Keys to Growth in Virtue and Grace.
This has been another edition of Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners in Iowa, Nebraska, and Wisconsin on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
You can hear Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson every week on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by Serra Vocations Ministry. Learn more at joinserra.org.